suffer from. Pray that he be careful. What I want us to look at is, you know, there have been in the Heroes Hall of Faith over there in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about many of the saints of God over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But I want us to go over into Genesis, if you would, chapter 13. We'll pick it up there. You know, Abraham was called of God and he went out, you know. And Abraham offered his son as a sacrifice, picturing Christ. The things that happened in Abraham's life, you know, we read in the book of Hebrews his call. We see his call, his sojourning until the Lord, you know, he was a sojourner. You know, I was going to introduce myself to you fellow pilgrims, travelers, sojourners. We're moving on until we move up. And so what we see in the life of Abraham, that he was called and he went out. He was called Ur of the Chaldees, and there he went out. You know, we think of over there, Kuwait, the territory somewhere where he went out. Living in the world, he was not of the world, even as Christ, even as you and I. We live in the world, we're not of the world, but God has called us out of the world. Three things are stated in connection with Abraham's faith in Hebrews 11. We find that his call, by faith, we're told that he was called and he went out. And his sojourning, like I said, secondly, by faith, he sojourned in a strange country. And folks, this world is not our home. It is a strange world. The more we try to live for Christ and adapt to the things of Christ and God's word and living the life that Christ living in us and through us, the more that we feel more like strangers, don't we? Well, you know what? That's how Christ was treated. That's how he came unto his own received him not. We think about how the Lord had delivered Abraham from his enemies. And, you know, Abraham kind of traveled around a whole lot, didn't he? You know, he was like a cowboy ranger, you know, with all his cattle and moving on, you know. We find that there was, in fact, a range war between his nephew and him, the workers. It wasn't them directly, Abraham and Lot, but it was through their workers. And they had a fight over, perhaps it was because there wasn't a whole lot of property there, you know, I mean, for the grazing anyway. But over here in Hebrews chapter 13, let's read it, and verse 5 down to verse 18. Hebrews 13, verse 5 down to verse 18. You're there, good. Wait for me. Hold on. If you start without me, I don't know how I'll catch up. I had a couple of calls, interesting calls, yesterday. I got a call from a fellow down in Georgia, a preacher down in Georgia. First of all, I got a call from that brother over at Brother Hobbs Church over there. And he said, hey, brother, I had somebody that canceled on me preaching on the 10th of August. I said, hey, I'm a filler. You know what I am? I just wait around for the phone to ring, and here I come running, you know? But anyway, Genesis chapter 13, let's read, beginning in verse 5 down to verse 18. Genesis 13, 5, and Abraham and Lot, here they are, they're going to separate. Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks, his nephew with him. He had flocks and herds and tents, and I mean, they became very rich. They got very rich, they did. And the land was not able to bear them. Not enough turf there they're having a range war going on here. That they might dwell together, for their substance was great. I mean, they're rich. And I mean, it's just abundance. God greatly blessed Abraham. And Lot got blessed because he was there with Abraham, believe it or not. Somewhere along the line, by the way, Lot got saved. You know, if you just read the Old Testament, you wouldn't think that's rascal was saved, but he was. He was a child of God. When you read over there in 2 Peter chapter 2, you say, my goodness, Lot, he was really irked badly by those folks down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. What is he doing down there? Why did he go over there? God has called us not out, but he's called us to be a separated people. You know, the Lord sanctified us through his death on the cross, set us apart. And not only that, but he wants us to be set apart unto him and wholly his. And so we read on as we're moving on here in verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them, so they might dwell together. So for their substance great, So they couldn't dwell together. They're going to split up, and we know the story what happened. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. That's how it all started. They were responsible to their master, you know, whoever, whether Abraham or Lot. And so a range war broke out, and the Canaan, look at, I want you to notice, the Canaanite and the Perizzite, not the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, they were like the early dwellers of the land. They really were. Amen. They dwelt then in the land. And can you imagine those guys looking down at these fellows? Here's Abraham, called of God. You know, he's the father of he's the father of faith, eh? And the faithful, amen. He's our father. How's he become our father? We find that initiate. We find that the Lord's with Abraham and the steps of faith and the way of faith and the way of God. We find that Abraham was an example, illustration, how all those who would follow after Abraham. Of course, you know, folks were saved before Abraham, honestly. All the way since Adam and Eve sinned, God had given them an illustration because of their sin anyway, that the carcasses of animals, and I don't think the animals were running around naked. The animals were killed, and I believe that they were sacrificed up. And yeah, the Lord taught them. The Lord instructed them, Adam and Eve. And you know, that passed upon Abel, Cain and Abel. And Cain, that wicked man, I'll tell you what, boy, I'll tell you, he is a pure fashion, a pure illustration of works for salvation. You know, trying to please God right from the very start, isn't it? It's not in man to direct our steps, especially for salvation. But yet, here's Cain. He runs to God and he says, God, haven't I given you something? You know, God said, that's not what I asked for. Without the shedding of blood. There's something that all through the Old Testament that we find, and it's this one message, without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. It's taught in typology, it's taught pictorially, it's taught literally that blood had to be shed with the children of Israel. Without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. Well, how in the world can we have our sins? The blood of the Lamb, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down to do what we couldn't do, and he successfully did it. And not only that, but now he reigns on high. We will see our King, and we gladly crown him King of my life. I crown thee now. We sing, thine be the glory. Anyway, thine the glory be. But verse 7, and there was strife, and so they had it split up. Now verse 8, Abraham said to Lot, now, nephew, let there be no strife between us, I pray thee, between me and thee, between your herdsmen, my herdsmen, for we are brethren. Brethren in which way? Well, yeah, kinfolk is his nephew, but more than that, somewhere along the line, I believe that Lot became a believer. He saw Abraham and many traveling roads that he did all the way over there to the promised land. And God had a place for Abraham to go. And Abraham went. You know, the way of faith was illustrated all, like I say, Abel. In Hebrews chapter 11 pictures Abel. There's the worship of faith. Enoch, he was not, for God took him. Yeah. Enoch, he pictures faith with God because he wasn't, and he went with God. We're with God tonight by faith. He was literally with God. The end of the road was the beginning of life eternal up there in heaven. Not, I shouldn't say the beginning. It started here on this earth, but the duration forever to be with the Lord. We're going to meet these folks, by the way. We will know them even as we are known. We all know Christ even as we are known. Abel, Enoch, Noah. Noah was a witness for God. You got worship of God, walk with God, witness for God. And Abraham comes along, and here's faith's obedience. That's what we have in Hebrews chapter 11, faith's obedience. And we need to be obedient people. We are called to be a separated people. You know, we find that Abraham separated from Lot here. Lot was a very selfish. Abraham was very unselfish. Lot was very selfish. And that's what we're going to see. Let's read a little bit further down. I said we're going to read verse 18. Will we ever get there? Well, hang on. Verse 8, Abraham said, let's separate because there's a big problem here. Verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? You know, look at it all. East, west, north, south, where you want to go, Lot. And Lot, we know where he chose. We know where he went. We know the end of his road. Such a disastrous road. Such an ungodly way, a pathway that he took. You know, the world has gobbled up many of, I believe, Christians. And they died not being a separated people. You know, sometimes God takes folks home early. Sometimes he lets them endure with their own sin that they brought upon themselves, and they suffer. There is within all of us, and you trying to tell me no, well, don't tell me please, because your old nature battles with your new nature. Now, to some degree, some folks got a real battle going on there. Others, it seems to be smooth sailing because they are daily dying to themselves and surrendering to the Lord continually and living the high life, I call it, the heavenly life, the separated life. Don't let the world, the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, Lot, he was lifted at the end result. I think he was already lifted up in pride because he looked at what he had and he said, yeah. He looked down there in his selfish ways. He chose that the land that was plenty, he thought. You know, you could pick out, like Lot, you could pick out what you think's good, but it may hurt you in the end. You see what I'm talking about? The steps that we walk, we need to be very careful. Now, I think I'm a seasoned saint somewhat, 72. Sometimes I act like a baby, ask Wanda. That's why she keeps a bottle on hand all the time. Not booze, but a bottle. You know, she got to nourish the little boy and me, but she's been, I'll tell you, very patient. Very patient woman. And a lot of ladies are patient with their husbands. And you know, that's God's gift to us, to have patience with us so we don't make a mess of ourselves. Amen? And we behold our wives and we say, there's wisdom. There's wisdom. Why can't we be like that more? Not like a woman, please. Don't get any transformation move there. I'm talking about being more humble, quiet. I don't know who you're married to, but anyway, some folks married. Well, maybe there's equality on screaming. But here in verse 9, isn't the whole land before you, Lot? Separate yourself. I pray thee. Look at the spirit of Abraham. I pray thee. What a humble spirit. Separate yourself from me. If thou wilt take the left, go. Right, go. If thou depart to the right hand, I'll go left. You go up, I'll go down. Hey, whatever you want. You take first choice. Now, remember, Abraham is the old elder here. You know, it was right for Abraham to have that choice. But do you notice he was willing to give of what he had? He could have said, it's my right, and you're not going to get first picks. We're going to separate, and I'm getting the good land, and you can have whatever you want. But he didn't do that. The way of faith is we ought to walk in all humility, amen? Abraham, he's talking in all humility here, and he's talking from his heart. And so down there, we notice that before the Lord, verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and boy, there's a problem, man. We say, look and live to the sinner, but here's Lot, he's looking, he's going to die. He's going to die to the new man, he's going to... What I mean by that, he's giving into the flesh wholeheartedly. He's been going that pathway. Pride goes before destruction, and believe me, up there on the back of the mount with his two daughters that got him drunk, what kind of society was he locked in there that he didn't even, he bitted the angels, that he thought there was two angels. They were two angels. The Lord and personified, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, was with Abraham in the tent when Sarah was in there and laughed when the Lord told Abraham that he's going to have a kid. You're going to have a child. Ah! Old Sarah thought that was the biggest. Man, we're pushing 100, kid. He's 99 and I'm just not far behind. I heard you laugh. The Lord hears everything, doesn't he? So be careful, little lips, what you say. So here we find that it was well watered in verse 10 everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, looking good down there, and that's what he chose. That's where he went. Verse 11, and Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, rich. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of, you know, Abraham was in a tent dweller, and here's Lot. Because I want you to know that Abraham kept moving on. He didn't dwell in the cities that, you know, when I get Perizzites, Canaanites, you ever see such a sight? They're building cities. Abraham said, I ain't going to move in there. Because I don't want to raise my kids. I don't want to raise my family. I don't want to be associated with the things of this world that may pull away, that hinder my faith in following the Lord of glory. Right? So we find down there, Abraham, he a tent dweller, and the other boy, he said, hey, I'm going to be a city dweller. And in fact, we read that Lot, he sits outside the gate there. He must have been, he might have been become a politician. You know, that's where the old men would sit. The leaders of the town would kind of hang out on the walls out there on the gate, on the entrance into the city. Lot, what are you doing there? Oh, I'm a politician. I ran for sheriff. Yeah, well, you ought to rest your old nature then. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Pitched his tent towards Sodom, bad place. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Oh. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated, here now the Lord's talking. And, you know, I think the Lord was waiting for Lot to make his move. And now, of course, his promise to Abraham. The Lord's still with Abraham. How you doing down there, Lot? Not good. But the Lord's with Abraham. Lift up now thine eyes. And because, you know, Lot had his look. Now the Lord says to Abraham, Abram, lift up your eyes and look. Look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, and for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Yeah, you know, I think the Lord was watching his servant, his child, Abraham, and he was much pleased. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but, well, I'll tell you what, the bells of heaven were ringing. God's getting the glory out of this guy's life. And I will make thy seed of the as the dust of the earth, man, which is, you know, plenty. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth or the stars of heaven, you know, look up there, you can't count them. No, Lord, so will your children be, the Lord tells them later. And arise and walk through the land and the length of it, the breadth, and I'll give it to thee. And then Abraham removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And by the way, the Hebrew word Hebron, by the way, look it up, it means fellowship. It's amazing that Abram not only goes to have fellowship with the Lord, he's following the Lord, having fellowship, you know, just like Enoch walked with the Lord, he had fellowship. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And Abraham agrees, well, whatever path the Lord you lead. And so here they are, down in verse 17, arise, walk through the land. In verse 18, and Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the land in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And you know what the purpose of the altar was? To worship the Lord our God. And he did so. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't put this thing on. Was I supposed to put this? Can you hear me back there? Raise your hand. Okay. Have you been able to hear me all along? Okay, good, good. Did I slam on that thing and that? I'm sorry. I'll try not to slam anymore. If I do, you can up the backside here. Hit me, I guess. Not too hard, though, please. Here's Abram, the man chosen to become the father of all God's people, the father of faith. And I look at his life. Abram, man separated from Lot. Lot, the selfish one. Abram, so unselfish. And that's the children of God. He's beaming. Abram's beaming right now. He's shining forth, you know, to the glory of God. That's what we're here for. Abram lived by faith. Lot lived by sight, obviously. Abram was giving and unselfish. We see in the mannerism with his nephew. Lot, greedy, selfish. Abram was a humble and respectful individual, but Lot, man alive, Lot was prideful and arrogant and self-exalted. Yeah. I imagine the look on his face wasn't very good when he got down there and saw what he got into. And after the experience of even his, not his children, his son-in-laws mocked him. You know, he had no respect. How does the world look at us? Do they really believe that we're children of God? They don't care. They just want to see how we measure up to our profession of faith. And you know, we don't live by sight. That is what them watches. We live by the Lord. It's true. But we're to live in such a manner, our behavior and our attitude and action and all that we do ought to be the way that God has laid out in His Word for us. I think, you know, it's almost like preaching at a choir here tonight, you know. But I just wanted to look at this guy and the move that he made and continually made and continually was blessed of God, and God fulfilling His purpose through the promise that He gave it to Abraham. He made it a promise to Abraham, and God's fulfilling it. Abraham's following it, and God's fulfilling it. Abraham sought after God and His promises. Lot sought after the bright lights and the possessions and the pleasures of this world, man. Abraham was spiritually minded. Lot was worldly minded. Abraham looked for the heavenly city that is eternal, whose builder and maker is God, we're told there in Hebrews 11:10. But Lot, he looked for a worldly city that was built by man, offered the wealth and position and bright lights of this world that grow dimmer by the moment today. It's a dark world. I read over there in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says how, let's turn to just, hold your place, well, just forget that Genesis. I'm just going to kind of lecture a little bit and finish up early. Yeah, okay. In Philippians chapter 2, look over here what Paul said near the end of chapter 2. Paul gives us a, you know, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. There's four people there that are mentioned about we ought to have the mind of Paul. He says he was like a water offering, a liquid offering spilled out. His whole life was spilled out for the glory of God, he says in Philippians 2. He says that Christ, he was literally crucified, right? Because we ought to have the mind of Christ. Now, God's not asking for us to go out there and get hit, run over by a Mack truck in the world. No. He wants us to live for Him until the day He calls us home. So, in Philippians, and I'm in Ephesians, so you're Philippians, all right, we got the Lord, we ought to have the mind of Christ in us, we ought to have following the footsteps of Paul also. He says he left an example, and then he talks about Timothy, his faithful servant, you know, but I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly, because he goes on to say that also may be of good comfort to me, and you... Because I think of no man like-minded who was naturally to care for your state over there at Philippi. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. But ye know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son, a father of faith, that Paul was to this son of faith. With the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. What ministry, he was faithful. And then Epaphroditus, near unto death, serving the Lord, you know. I mean, he laid it down in a line. Here's four that we ought to follow in their footsteps in chapter 2. But look at the end of chapter 2. He talks about how he says that... hold on now. Hold on. Let me see here. Well, I thought it was in chapter 2. I'm quite sure it is. I'm just a little bit lost in my looking for it. All right, I'm taking up time, too much time here. But in Philippians chapter 2, I thought it was, it might be over in chapter 4, not 2, but 4. Anyway, here's what Paul said. He says that we ought to be careful how we live because we're living in a very dark world.
And we are children of light. We ought to shine as children of light because we dwell in a very dark world. I'll find it later, okay? Is that all right? I think old age is kicking in tonight. Hold on. Let's go back to Abraham and notice to his life. You look at Lot and Abram, and I'll tell you, they got into an argument. And of course, Abram and Lot faced a threefold problem there, and we already saw how it was resolved. It was resolved peacefully, at least. Abram said, take whatever you want. Abram sought to solve the conflict there, we find, and Lot, misled by the lust of his eyes and by the appearance of this world, he chose not the best, did he not? So be careful when you make decisions in life, okay? We say, well, we're up here. Hey, old age doesn't mean that you're not home yet, you know? We don't want to mess it up. We're too close to heaven. We don't want to mess it up, right? Now, you young folks, just disregard. I'm not talking to you. You get along too. Unless the Lord comes tonight, I hope you both are ready, right? I hope all of us are ready. But anyway, we find that Lot solved the problem, unwisely staying together even when the land couldn't support them. Abraham, with wisdom, he said, okay, and with humility, you take the best, whatever you want, you know. So the Perizzites, some of the original people that settled in Palestine, they're watching, and they're saying, man, this dude here, he's going around in Canaan, the land of Canaan. They're over near Hebron, you know, southeast over there. They're saying, man, that guy's, he's easy to get, look at that. He let the other guy, where'd that other boy go? He headed down south. Don't he know there's trouble down there, Sodom and Gomorrah? He and the Perizzites, I don't know if they ever went down there. If they did, they'd have a problem getting back. But there was strife, there was conflict, there was division. But Abram sought to solve the conflict, and he did. And so we find that Abraham's, he gets over to Hebron, and what does he do? He makes a sacrifice, a picture of Christ. We find over there, of course, you know, he's going to picture Christ through the sacrifice of his son. God called him out. God said, hey, I want you to offer up your son, your only son. Now, of course, God stopped him, but he wants him to know what God. You know, how do we really know? How do we know that we're saved? Do we really know what God, it cost God to redeem this guy here? What really broke my heart when I was saved and I went in a church, but I was reading the Bible somebody gave me up there near Russia, up there in Alaska. And I told you, I don't want to repeat myself, the way I got saved. The way I got saved is the way everybody gets saved, repenting towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, he broke my heart to see that it was him dying in my place. It tore me up. It was love. But you know, we got over the book of Romans, that legal indictment book over there, the law, slain by the law, healed by the gospel. But here, I want us to read just a couple of verses. I will read it to you. Is that okay? Here we find, like Abraham, he makes some decisions. And I'll tell you what, Matthew chapter 6, he had great faith in God. Matthew chapter 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, we don't have to worry about, you know, people are out there fighting for top dog. Who's going to get it? We rush in. We want to buy something. I remember there were sales going on. My wife and I think this was over in Illinois or over there, Wheelersburg. I don't know where. There were ladies knocking over other ladies. My wife told me about it over some material. It was at a ladies' store, so I probably wasn't there. But anyway, she told me this story. She said, man, they're fighting like cats. Old women fighting like cats and dogs over some piece of material, you know. It was a big sale, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. Check with Wanda. She'll tell the story. I usually mess up on some of the stories, but boy, it was a doozy. When she came and told me that, I said, whew, you didn't get hurt, did you? Oh, how great is thy goodness, O Lord, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. This is Psalms 31:19, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord, do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. People,
How are we going to make it? You know, the economy's not doing very good.
We have never been hurting. Have you ever been hurting real bad? Starving? Out on the street? There are people like that out there. I don't know. It's a sad situation to be in. Very terrible. But we've never been. God has always been good to us and taken care of us. We didn't have to be greedy. We didn't have to. We're not trying to. You know, people sometimes say, oh, you're a Baptist preacher. And I say, yes, I am. And yes, I was all my life, it seems like, in Christ. And I live for Christ even now. But it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118:8. And here's the last one. Here's Proverbs 3:5. Right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on to thy own understanding. You know? And there's other verses I've got here. When Abraham sacrificed, it's actually a picture of the sacrifice of Christ. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 8:9, we read that Christ had the right to remain perfect in the land of heaven, you know, but he came down, condescended in humility. And of course, Abraham had the right to live in the most perfect land and the promised land there, but he let Lot have it, you know. Both sought peace above all else. Both humbled themselves and acted unwisely, giving and sacrificing to the ultimate degree. Abraham, he gave his only begotten son, but God stopped him. No, nothing. Abraham, I want you to realize what faith is. You want to see what an illustration is of faith? There's faith. You say, that's great faith. You know, I remember our Lord one time, one instance, he said, oh, ye have little faith. You know, there is great faith. There's little faith. You know, I pray, Lord, increase our faith. And we might stand in the hour of temptation, the hour of trial, having done all to stand therefore. But Lot, it was very selfish, and the end result of his life, how horrible, you know. Lot, he was taught of Abraham earlier. He was a child of God. What happened? Where did he go wrong? Lot ignored the ungodly behavior of Sodom and Gomorrah. Once he touched the city limits there, he should have ran like crazy. He should have, because he was taught by Abraham. There's a lot of people that are taught, brought up in church, but they don't separate themselves from the world. Next thing you know, the world swallows them up. They're out into the world. You know, love not the world, and neither the things of the world. And we see what happened to Eve with the devil. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all the three temptations there, as John tells us over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 down to verse 17. So Lot was very selfish. He was very worldly too, staying there. You had to become, it had an effect on him. It had an effect on him so where the end of Lot's rope. Hey, what was the warning that our Lord, when he was talking about the end times? Remember Lot's wife. Well, what's to remember about her? She turned back. We're called to live a life of separation, folks. The Lord has called us to be a separated people. Why? Because, you know, people trying to gain the world, it's the loss of their very soul. Matthew 16:25. Because the friendship of the world is enmity towards God in James 4:4. Because the world didn't know Christ, he came unto his own received him not. Because it hates Christ, this world, because the Holy Spirit has forbidden us in 1 John 2:15 to not love this world. Don't be a part of this world, right? And the world has its claws that Satan has his. You know, one thing about the difference between Satan and our God is Satan can't be omnipresent. You know, you hear about somebody says, boy, the devil was over. You should have seen what the devil was doing over here. Well, I don't know if he's just, you know, I read over there in Ephesians 6, putting on the whole
armor of God, the powers that be. And I think that Satan is really on, if he can knock over more of the dominoes, a whole bunch of them, by maybe a one pen, somebody that's in power, he's doing the power plays now. We read in the book of Daniel about those power plays that have taken place, that will take place. But I love the way the book of Daniel ends. You know, the Lord reigneth on high. He's in complete control. Our God reigns, and guess what? That's as far as I'm going to go tonight. Hey, let's go home and get a good night's rest. But before you do go to bed, pray for our pastor. Pray for our church here. Pray, Lord, use us. Be busy in the service that God has called us to be. He gave a commission to his church here at Mount Pleasant. Yeah, and there's some people not maybe not be interested in it, but hey, we can't, you know, we could try to encourage people to be faithful and witness to the lost. That's what God said. He said, before he comes, the gospel will be preached in this world. And you say, well, the Lord's not called us out, so we'll just send money to some over in the Congo or something like that. Hey, man, the folks over in the Congo is just as lost as folks down the street, neighbors all around. Sorry about that. Hit his little doodad there. I'll say, we're going to dismiss in prayer right now. You want to sing a song or just dismiss? Dismiss in prayer? Okay, thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, to be able to come and fill in for the pastor. Lord, we think of the great work that you've given us. Lord, we don't go alone. You're with us everywhere we go. You're within us. You're above us, Lord. You're before us. You know what's ahead of us. You're underneath us, Lord, with the everlasting wings of protection round about us. Lord, we're thankful that you're within us, though. And, Lord, you feed us. You protect us. You guide us. You guard us. And you gladden us, Lord. You cause us to be rejoicing because of what you revealed through your word. Now, give us traveling mercies home, be with our church, your church here, Lord, and be with our pastor, and be with those saints round about, sister churches. Lord, now as churches seem to be diminishing, help us to rise up and be faithful. We can't maybe do all things. Help us to do the things before us that you have on our heart. We pray that you'll add daily, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. It's only 3 minutes early. Sorry about that. I was going to give you five.